Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
How is the ship of state? This metaphor equating a nation to the ship of state has been around for 2,000 years, used by ancient Greek poets. 1941, just prior to the United States entering the Second World War, then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sent British Prime Minister Winston Churchill a poem, a Longfellow poem to encourage the UK in the war against Nazi Germany. Thou too sail on, O ship of state. Sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate, the ship of state. Each nation can be compared to that. How is the American ship of state? That's the question I want to explore this week. All of this week on Daily Devotion, we're going to be discussing a nation arising. How long can I do so? How long can I speak like this? I don't know. For freedom of speech is challenged left and right. The freedom of speech is enshrined in the Bill of Rights, but we watch as those who attempt to claim it, they are marginalized, disenfranchised, deplatformed. But to speak is what we do. We have a voice, and we're required to speak. Watchmen of the Old Testament sounded the alarm. They did their job, fulfilled their purpose, accomplished their goals, protected people. Those who did not sound the alarm failed to dispatch their duties, to live up to their calling. Granted, there were times the watchmen sounded the warning and the city was still overrun. Maybe the people refused to respond, refused to rise up in defense. Maybe they were too weak, too apathetic, too complacent. At any rate, I will sound the alarm, and so shall all of us. We speak truth in love, but still we speak. It was 400 years ago the Mayflower Compact was established. They formed a colony in their own words for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That statement would permeate the later founding documents of this nation. The Declaration of Independence contains multiple mentions of God. He's mentioned in the opening sentence where he rightfully belongs. Then in that beautiful passage, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the final paragraph, God is mentioned twice. God is mentioned in each and all of the constitutions of the 50 states. It is the slogan of this nation found on our currency, "In God We Trust." 70 years ago, there was a National Day of Prayer proclamation, where its purpose is stated to encourage the nation to pray to God. But there was a recent year that God wasn't even mentioned in the proclamation. Granted that nothing any executive, any high office holder, president has ever done has pleased everyone, there are agnostics, atheists, polytheists who object to the use of the word God. They would quite possibly be offended that there is such a national proclamation of prayer. One secular group after another will contest the National Day of Prayer or the National Prayer Proclamation, that who are we to say that we should encourage people to pray to God? Some say we're excluding non-believers, that we should not do that. Some will be upset that just before an inauguration, we will have a hymn sung, Amazing Grace, that there will be prayer over the nation. What are we seeing? We are seeing the rise of secularism, which says God must be omitted. As Shadi Amid recently noted in The Atlantic, American faith, it turns out, is as fervent as ever. It's just that what was once religious belief has now been channeled into political belief. Political debates over what America is supposed to mean have taken on the character of theological disputations. This is what religion without religion looks like. I find that to be staggering. Religion without religion. There's a group that came out with a 28-page document recently. They're secularists, and they're telling people that we need to restore a vision of constitutional secularism to push back against the so-called Christian nationalist movement. They offer a wide variety of policies and recommendations, and among them, that politicians should avoid phrases like God and country. While promoting non-theistic and humanistic chaplains in the military at the same time, and to include non-religious representatives at interfaith gatherings. One of their interesting recommendations was to use the country's one-time unofficial motto, E Pluribus Unum, Latin for out of many, one, instead of the motto that we adopted in 1956, In God We Trust. They say that Christian nationalists characterize the United States founding as a Christian nation based on biblical principles, whereas they view America as a secular nation. They want things reversed, rules, regulations, exemptions that they say favor people of faith. Of particular interest is a 1992 law passed by supermajorities under the Clinton administration called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that protects religious liberties, secularism. Secularism leads to a rudderless ship of state, a ghost ship, if you will, where a country or a person has no clear purpose, no aim, no objective. A mighty, robust ship of state becomes a ghost ship, abandoned not by its crew, but by its ideals, and over time will be a shell of what it once was. Our country, our Western civilization, is in such danger. Each year, the president of our nation will give an address called the State of the Union. When I look at our nation today, and this is only my opinion, I see a nation that is increasingly rudderless. It's godless, faithless, thoughtless. It's like the vision of St. John, a painting that hangs in the Metropolitan Museum of Art by the 16th century Spanish El Greco. The painting was completed around 1614, but it looks like it could have been painted in Paris in the early 20th century. Its feel is not only modern, but also contemporary. The painting is based on the opening of the fifth seal in Revelation 6. The martyrs who bore faithful witness to Christ are given white robes while John looks heavenward. But that's only half the painting. 150 years ago, when the painting was restored, the canvas was trimmed in half. In the name of improvement, the scene is almost split in two, so that depicted is the Apostle John reaching into heaven, but there's nothing up there. The God who was visible in the original painting is now non-existent. What a perfect parable of secularism. John reaches up to a non-existent God, looking for more, longing for more, but a more that isn't there. A de-emphasis of God has taken place. Since the Second World War, church attendance has been on decline in the Western world. For the first time in 8 decades, church attendance, defined as going to church once a month, has declined below 50%. Once crowded cathedrals and churches in Europe are nearly empty. A new religious category has appeared. It's called the nones, N-O-N-E-S, people with no faith, no religious preference. And during the recent pandemic, of course, church attendance plummeted. Now there is a genuine attack on people gathering to worship. Something David Reed wrote in Leadership years back, he said, history shows that when religion wanes in any country, it is not replaced by popular nationalist philosophy that leads to universal happiness and peace. No. The vacuum left by the waning of religion in Western countries has been filled by an army of superstitious cults and beliefs. Perfect secularism by no means casts out fear. Or as we have seen, some follow fears and theories and anger and conspiracies. Others follow so-called science. I read a piece recently called A New American Divinity. It argued that during the global pandemic, there was a mass conversion to secularism. People were told to believe science without question, without deviation. And what we've always seen is that science always changes. So it is. Creatures who reject their creator, the godless rejecting God, and the ship of state grows increasingly desolate of its original purpose and meaning. Joanne Badley, U.S. professor, wrote, "Unlike Israel's exile, our process of secularization is not clearly marked by a hostile takeover. We are losing the land by way of a thousand little changes." Yes, we are. I won't cite the many, many ways, but we're seeing it in our world today. Let's just admit here that it's happening. The loss of a God consciousness in our nation. An old Chinese proverb says, if you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish, because a fish does not reflect on its own environment until it's thrust onto the dry land and struggles for its life. Then it may realize the very water that it was in provided life. Immersed in faith and worship in God, America did not appreciate her environment. Now flopping on a secular shore, many wonder what has happened. We need to get back to God. In Forbes magazine years ago, 11 men and women were asked, why are we so unhappy? They all agreed their unhappiness was rooted in the loss of their moral and spiritual center, the hollowing out of values, the removal of the spiritual and moral rudder. The writer Peggy Noonan said, poet W.H. Auden called his era the age of anxiety. I think what was at the heart of the dread in those days, just a few years into modern times, was that we could tell we were beginning to lose God, banishing him from the scene and from our own consciousness, losing the assumption that he was part of the daily drama or its maker. It's a terrible thing, she wrote, when people lose God. Life is difficult. People are afraid. To be without God is to lose man's greatest source of consolation and coherence. Compared to the America that once was, we are becoming a ghost ship, a shell of what once was, its great spiritual life, missing its rudder, godless. This is where you and I come in. No, not with storming the gates and citadels of government, but in storming the throne of heaven. America needs an arising and awakening, not a chill and a thrill, not an uptick in church attendance, but a complete and thorough awakening. Not one that will come with programming or planning, but one that begins in the heart of each believer and longs and sighs and yearns and groans for a new day awakening. This is the beginning of what God longs to do in our world. I know we're living in the last of the last days. It was meant to get darker during these times, but we shall not capitulate. What we're believing for is that God is going to show up, that there's going to be light in the evening time. We're going to pray for this awakening, and we're going to believe it, because the ship of state needs it. Rudderless, godless, America will fail, left beached on some shore, dashed against the rocks. But with God, with God at the wheel, the ship of state can be rescued, and what once was can be regained and surpassed. I see a new day coming against the darkest of nights. Why don't you and I purpose to be a part of it?
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.